I'm going to pull up Savant's every move of the offseason tracked rolling article here. And I want to see if we have any real opinions. December 5th, we're recording this on December 6th. The Red Sox traded Verdugo to your New York Yankees for 3 right-handed pitchers. Talk to me about what you think Verdugo's roles and responsibilities will be.
First of all, to keep the grills, the beard, the earrings, everything possible. In the press conference, I want to see the grill shining.
All right.
Throughout the entire press conference. No, but baseball-wise, I think we're pretty much just going to see what we saw from the Red Sox. League average, who's somewhat above average hitter, for the most part, which is only going to be amplified by a certain dimension at certain parts of Yankee Stadium.
Yes. Yes.
Which, and I guess continuing that throughout the entire AL East, aside from, you know, Baltimore's and left field, what I'm talking about. The only thing that would concern me is where does he play defensively? Because I'm just going to assume that regardless of if the big move, is just what I'm going to call it, if the big move happens, I'm just going to suppose that he's going to be playing one of the corner spots, regardless. Because
right. you're referring to Adam Duvall signing with the Yankees, correct? That's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I'm talking about.
That's Cashman's. That's Cashman's big move, I heard.
No, but yeah, regardless of if the big move happens, I would fully expect him to play the corners because the field defense is bad. I don't expect him to play all the time in the corners. I expect him to play center field sometimes because he is the second best option among players the Yankees currently have. He is the second best option next to a 6'7", 282-pound beast who was coming off a major toe injury.
Can I ask you, Peyton? The big move that we're alluding to is obviously a certain Padres outfielder. Okay, let me ask you.
Trent Grisham, there you go.
That's my point, though, is that I have heard that he will also be involved in the trade. And my question to you is, the Verdugo acquisition befuddles me a little bit only because is there a world in which on June 1st, and this is a big if because I'm going to say Giancarlo Stanton's healthy. So this is a big if. It's June 1st. Everyone is healthy. And you have Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Jason Dominguez, Alex Verdugo, and Trent Grisham all on the roster. I have to imagine Verdugo feels like the odd man out in that scenario. It feels like you would have, you know, 4 of those guys be your 3 outfielders and a DH. And then Grisham is the defensive replacement, can play all 3 outfield spots. Does it not confuse you to that extent that it just seemed much cleaner without the acquisition, unless they plan on flipping him? But I don't know if they will.
As far as we know, they're not planning on flipping him, at least not this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to start the season as a Yankee, hopefully with a full beard and a grill in his mouth. Once you get to June, first of all, Dominguez is probably going to be out until at least July with Tommy John.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. Let's just pretend it's July.
July 1st, and my apologies. I was trying to say, what's the world in which Dominguez is healthy? Is it just, are they baking in the fact that they think Stanton will be hurt by the All-Star break? And they're like, well, it won't matter because we'll just have Dominguez come off the IL.
Sure. Let's go with that. It also,
like, I'm serious, though. Like, that I just have a hard time believing they'd roster that many outfielders deserving of playing time. I don't know.
So I think once you get to July, you'll have a much clearer vision. Who's either Verdugo will actually be traded by then, or Grisham will be traded by then. I would prefer for it to be Verdugo, obviously. But aside from that, we're just going to assume that the starting outfield is going to be Soto, Verdugo or Judge, and then Verdugo or Judge again to start the season. Now, once Dominguez comes back, Dominguez comes back, start him in center field. Over
right, yeah, he's the clear number one option in center field. Like that's the center. Well, I mean, I know there's reports that eventually he'll have to move to a corner, but when he's in his 20s, that's a guy that can play center field. So yeah.
So then eventually becomes Soto, Dominguez, and Judge. And I'm gonna give a variable take. You keep on mentioning Stan. It's done. It's done. It's over.
How though? They're just going to eat it?
I don't mean done as in he's going to be out of Yankee uniform. I'm convinced he's going to be the next 4 years, at least the next 3 years, I should say. I'm saying he's done in the outfield. He's not playing the outfield.
Oh, sure, but that's what I mean, though. Then you don't get to give Judge a break. I know.
But I think that would also depend on how he ends up performing with the bat, because over the last 2 years, really year and a half, because the struggle started in the second half, but over the last year and a half, Stan has also seen a very noticeable drop off in his offensive abilities. So depending on how that goes, you might just have a $25 billion pinch hitter.
Oh wow.
Or DH. Sure, let's go with that. But if the downward spiral continues, and again, it's Stan. He can hit 450-foot home runs with one arm. It doesn't really matter. But if that offensive decline really spirals, I think you start to get to a point where let's just open up this DH spot. Whether he's just sitting on the bench or whether they just say, let's just eat the money, or best case scenario, he accepts a trade to a West Coast team. I love the guy so much. I really do. I love the trade. But it's just
if the Yankees eat 90% of the money, I say trade him back to the Marlins. If the Yankees eat like a huge chunk of it, I think that'd be so sick. Like in a year where it's like clearly like he doesn't have it anymore and the Marlins are still like an 84, 85 win team. And they're like, this will sell some tickets. Like we're bringing him home. I'm like, I would enjoy that. If he's, let's say there's a world in which he's at, ooh, let's take a look at how many career home runs he's on right now.
It's just over 400.
Just over 400. Okay. Let's say in a year and a half from now, he's sitting at like 480, right? Or not a year and a half, 2 years from now. Or 470, something like that. Let's say it's 35 homers next couple of years. I don't think that's super unrealistic to say, right? He had a pretty not great year in 2023 and still hit 24 in 101 games, right? Let's say he hits 30, 35. I say trade him back to Miami and let him chase 500 on the Marlins, and then he hangs it up after he gets to 500. Am I just directly borrowing the Pujols story? Sure, but hello, lights turning off. Hello, lights turning back on. I'm borrowing the Pujols storyline for sure a little bit, but I still think it'd be really fun. That home run chases are very fun, and a guy doing it where he got to start his career for a team that could be like actually like competitive for a wild card spot and would maybe need a veteran big bat kind of DH bench guy for not a ton of money. Crazier things have happened is all I'll say.
Yeah, I don't hate it. The only problem is I think they're still paying some of his current contract.
That's what I mean. They'd be eating 90% of the money. The Yankees would be eating 90% of that. But I mean, you know, if the Yankees are already going to be owing him a lot of money, it'd be nice to have him not playing on your team and have it be, you know, a little bit more fun. Let's talk about Eric Fetty a little bit. Is a controversial name. If you are a sicko like both of us and are on baseball Twitter, you will know that this man has been the subject of a lot of discourse. I like the signing. I really do. I mean, 2-for-15 in today's day and age for a starting pitcher is nothing. Should the White Sox be signing anyone? No. I think the White Sox should be trading players away for prospects, but you know, someone has to be, you know, someone has to be the reason I'm willing to go, you know, make the drive to the South Side and pay for a ticket. So I don't hate it. I think at worst, this guy will crash and burn out after making 20 starts and you owe him $7.5 million next year to, you know, pitch in, oh gosh, what's their AAA team? Columbus? Is that them?
Charlotte.
Thank you. I'm like, either he's making $7 million to play in Charlotte next year, or he's, you know, a SP4. And I'll gladly pay $7.5 million for that. The Cardinals are paying 11 for Steven Matz to do what they hope to be the same thing. So I don't know. I don't know if you have any strong opinions on it, but that's how I feel.
I'm going to be entirely honest with you. I have not been up to date with Eric Fetty news other than what Matt Sakin says.
Well, all right. I'll say this. He won the MVP in the Korean League. He had, I think if you adjust the war rate, if he put up the exact, like a similar comparative line in Major League Baseball, he'd had 6.7 F war this year. That's what he put up in Korea. He put up the equivalent of that, which, that's pretty good. I know pitcher war is a bit finicky, but that's a number that, you know, if it starts with a six, I don't care what position you play, it's a good baseball player. So that that's why I'm under the boat of 2-for-15 is not even close to like the end of the world.
It does feel like one of those deals where a player that was bad in his first day in the majors goes overseas, does what he does, and then comes back and you see what happens. It's the same story with Eric Thames, the same story with much more successful story, Mike Michaelis. Merrill Kelly, there was another name that was just on my mind.
Josh Lindblom is an example of it not working out, to be fair.
That is fair. But there are quite a few examples of it working. And also, if he's been doing well in Korea, I also could just be stuck in 2018 when I say this, but Korea is a much more potent offensive league.
Breaking news. I apologize. I'm joking. I'm kidding. It's not Otani. But Craig Kimbrell to the Orioles, 1-for-13. So finish your point about Fetty, and then we'll do Kimbrell next. You say Korea has taken a step forward in the last few years.
Last time I checked, Korea was an offensive potent league. I don't know if that's still the case now. But if he was pitching well in Korea under what I believe the circumstances, he should be fine.
If it was 2-for-30, I think I'd have a much bigger, I'd be much more concerned about like, what are we doing, Chicago White Sox? But I'm like 2-for-15, that's nothing. If he can't hack it as a starter, but he's a 3.5 ERA like reliever, I'll pay $7.5 million for that. Like, I just think that the only way this contract is an utter bust is if he tears his UCL in the next 6 months. That's the only way in which I think this contract is a legitimate flop. If he's a average reliever to slightly above average, then great.
Well, let's not put that in here now. Just saying.
We had some breaking news while we were chatting. We had some breaking news. The news is that Craig Kimbrell will be closing games for the next 11 months, and that is it for the Baltimore Orioles, 1-for-13. I say that not to slander Craig Kimbrell. I say that out of my legitimate love and adoration for Felix Bautista. Get healthy, King. We miss you. This is what the Orioles had to do. Yenner Cano had a really good start in 2023. I mean, it was a borderline historic start. I mean, he was an unbelievable setup, man. I think a lot of people don't realize that he was one of the guys that was in the Jorge Lopez to Minnesota deal.
I think a lot of people realize that question.
Okay. Well, all right. Just neg me, Peyton. That's fine. I think that was a time in which I think a lot of Orioles fans were like, why did we just trade our all-star closer? What are we doing? Blah, blah, blah. And I normally dislike when front offices get to play the smartest man in the room bit, but the Orioles were the smartest man in the room in that scenario because they said, look, We can have Bautista and Cano. And it was rocking. And then Bautista had that injury, and that was really, really unfortunate. So I know Orioles fans have been clamoring for them to spend money on literally anything, which I think is very fair for a team that won over 100 games. And I think this is the perfect signing to make. That he had Kimbrel is a great meme, but he was legitimately like pretty good last year. Like he was not a bad closer. And I think if the Orioles add if they can add a starter that intrigues me, even like a Frankie Montas or like a Lucas Giolito, just a name that moves the needle for me even a hair, I think I'd call it a successful enough offseason.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they need at this point. Much more than bullpen help, they need rotation help, because if you really think about it, this is an Orioles team that won 100 something games.
Less than 116, but more than 100.
Sure. that won 101 games, let's just say, with Kyle Bradish and
Dean Kramer.
Kyle Gibson.
And Kyle Gibson and Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, that was a rotation, and that won 101 games. So, and granted, run differential will tell you that regression is a little bit in play, but regardless, not regressing enough to be like completely out of it. Anyway, team that won 101 games with ghosts in the rotation. That's so starting rotation help is what they need. Really, what they should have done was be in the ground sweepstakes. It wouldn't have helped this year or most of last year, obviously, but.
There's a world in which different training staff, like, you know, I know it's like hard to play like what if on that, but like it's plausible, you know. You can make the argument maybe.
As a guy that throws Andre with every pitch, I think you would assume that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Training staff doesn't really matter. But the point is that they really should have been after a star in the rotation. But Kimbrel does help the bullpen that is now down to what was supposed to be Yonder Cano as, I would guess, the closer, unless you want to throw Fujinami into that role. Or if you wanted to throw Fujinami into that role, that would have been an interesting closure. That would have been an interesting closer.
Yeah, I mean, he's got talent.
Yeah.
It just so let's play opening day. They're gonna get John Means back, right? So that like replaces.
I entirely forgot John Means existed. I'm not gonna lie to you.
You got Tyler Wells. So the rotation is as of right now for opening day. Bradish is your opening day starter, which I think is fine. Like he's a good pitcher. Yeah. Is he a one? Yeah. But like, you know, there aren't 30 ones in Major League Baseball. People, I think, tend to forget that. Cardinals fans tend to forget that as well. Anyway. Kyle Bradish, John Means, Dean Kremer, Tyler Wells. Either we're forgetting an actual name or I'm being dead serious when I say that they legitimately need to sign a five because they lost Kyle Gibson. They lost Jack
Flaherty. Bruce Zimmerman, there you go. Is Bruce Zimmerman even still in the Orioles?
No, there's no shot. But like, let's go to Fangraph's roster resource right now. Like I'm gonna go to roster resource for the Orioles right now, and if live reaction, I look dumb.
He is still on
projected rotation is Bradish. Oh, we are forgetting a totally real person, and we completely okay. Tyler Wells is maybe a free agent number one, or he's moving to the bullpen for sure. Grayson Rodriguez.
Oh yeah,
that is a real person. Okay. So we'll cut all that. We'll unwind it, and none of that counted. So if it's their opening day rotation, you're going to have Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, Dean Kremer, and roster resource has Cole Irvin listed as the five. And Cole Irvin stinks. And I will say that on camera without hesitation. He is not a good baseball player. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. I hope he's a wonderful person. It's no disrespect to the man. But he is not the guy that you need to be throwing once every 5 days if you're a team coming off a 100-plus win season. He cannot be. Like, I think
on the flip side, there is no flip side. What was up?
I think you could sign Giolito. Like, you need a guy. Like, honestly, they should have been in on the Lance Lynn signing, because the only real knock on Lance Lynn was that he gave up a lot of home runs. And affectionately, that stadium is now getting nicknamed Baltimore. That would have kept a lot of home runs in. Like, when I did the video for what I think the Cardinals should do, the reason I even think about Lance Lynn is I was like, he seems like the perfect guy for the Orioles to sign as the five. Like, veteran, bounce back. You need the veteran in the locker room that's been in the big playoff moments, because that's really what happened to them. They got kind of big timed by the Rangers in the playoffs. I'm like, that felt like the guy. If you're not going to bring back Kyle Gibson, and now I'm like, who can they get that will fit that mold?
Lance Lynn.
Right. And that's no longer an option. So, like, now this is where I'm like, Giolito, because he's made playoff starts, and his other issue is he gave up a lot of home runs. Like, you need a righty that will not give up, or that will directly benefit from the home runs being consumed. And I think Giolito is the answer for them.
I haven't heard much about Giolito this offseason.
I have heard that he's taken some meetings, but, like, he to me is a guy that could still get, like, 2 for 24 with the ability to make it 3 for 39. He feels like one of those guys. 2-year deal with a, you know, maybe a mutual option for $15 million for the year 3. Something like that. Like a 3 for 39 if it goes all the way through. That feels like what Giolito could get, in my opinion.
Isn't that bad after being traded?
He was that bad after being traded. Yeah, he was really
bad. What am I talking about? Yes, he was.
He was horrible. But the stuff that you like when you talk about Lucas Giolito, I mean, first of all, I mean, age matters, right? This is a guy that's still 29. Like, he's got pedigree. He still struck out 27% of the batters. He still threw 184 innings. Like, this is why I'm like, he's the perfect guy for a team like Baltimore to take a chance on. Because, you know, I mean, I look at his ERA 4.9, but I look at his FIP was a 5.3, but his expected FIP was a 4.5. Like, his numbers are kind of all over the place. And I'm like, maybe he would benefit from park. Like, his home run fly ball rate was 18%. That is gross. That's really bad. Like, his home runs per nine was 2. That will get knocked down in Baltimore. If it gets knocked down even to the second worst rate of his career, which would be 1.6 in 2017 when he threw 45 innings, he had a 2.4 ERA when he did that. Like, this is a guy that if he doesn't give up homers, is a good pitcher. So a team that has the ability to provide that for him, literally not even through, like, just defense alone. I don't even need to talk about the fact that, like, Adley is, like, a great catcher as well. That matters.
Their team is really good, actually.
Yeah. Like, so, I don't know. That's what Baltimore, I think, desperately needs to do to appease their fan base, because it wouldn't cost a lot of money. If we ask an Orioles fan, hey, you can have your closer and your rotation get, like, a pretty decent upgrade, and that's the only two things you do the whole offseason, I think an Orioles fan would say, I'm fine with that, knowing that they're probably just going to trade for bullpen guys at the deadline. Like, they're just going to trade Connor Norby
Are they really a team that needs to focus on acquiring bullpen guys? Isn't that a team that can just create bullpen guys on their own?
In theory, I mean, they've done a pretty good job of doing that, but, like, you could always add more. And there's going to be someone on the Royals that has a 2-4 at the deadline that you could get for your 30th best prospect. And it's like, why would you not do that?
All right, that's fair. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a guy in their bullpen that has a 5.5 ERA that you can just send down to AAA and then trade for a guy. You know, the A's are going to have a guy that has a 2.8. You know, maybe not the Rockies, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, someone on the Pirates will have a 3.1 ERA and they'll be like, we'll take that guy. Thanks. Yeah, that's what I think the Orioles should do. The next move, I'm very excited to talk to you about this because we are both ride or dies for this guy, for better or for worse. Jared Kelnick, Marco Gonzalez, Evan White, and Cash to Atlanta for Jackson Coar and Cole Phillips. I refuse to hop off the Jared Kelnick can be a good Major League Baseball player train. I refuse. And I think that this trade will only help if you look at things like park factor, et cetera, et cetera. I'm very disappointed in the Mariners, is I think my reaction to this trade. I'm very disappointed in their ownership. I understand that the Gonzalez contract isn't great.
Can I stop you right there? Only this trade is making you disappointed. Only this trade.
The Paul Sewald trade, Matt Brash is a stud. I understand it. You don't want to pay a closer? Valid.
I was not talking about Paul Sewald. I was talking about
the Suarez trade.
Everything else that has happened.
The Suarez trade, I'm not a believer in that dude. And Suarez is coming off not a great year. Like, he's not objectively. I mean, I know he hit homers, but this is the only trade where I've legitimately been like, we're that desperate to salary dump. Like, I like Ryan Bliss. I think Ryan Bliss is actually a very good player that they got in the Eugenio Suarez deal. And if the plan was, we don't want to pay Paul Sewald, we have Matt Brash. The other two were justified. This one to me is, it stinks of like, you're not going to get better from this. Or like, there isn't a clear replacement plan.
So I wasn't necessarily just talking about individual trades in itself. I was just talking about what has happened to the Mariners since they've been eliminated from the Comets, from the from the Cal Raleigh situation, from literally everything just makes you feel like
you're talking about Mariners the 54. You're like the 54% comment is what you're referring to. Yes.
And it seems like regardless of how you feel about Eugenio, it feels like everything they've done this offseason has been leading to that 54% comment, if we're being real. Because if we're being honest, they could be in position to acquire a Soto, acquire an Otani. It feels like they have been in position to do that. And yet it feels like this offseason is going to be, let's salary dump Suarez, let's salary dump Kelnick. And you're presuming it's for a big move. That's what we're presuming. Whether that's Randy Arozarena or whatever the case may be. But it also feels like it's just going to be Randy Arozarena and then Joey Votto retirement season. That's what this offseason feels like for the Mariners. Ooh,
Joey Votto to play first for them? I wouldn't actually hate that. I mean, yeah, that would be, that move would not placate the fan base in Seattle. But I'll say this. When that Kelnick trade happened, as a Cardinals fan, my brain immediately went, oh, are they going to trade for, after the Eugenio Suarez trade as well, I'm like, oh, are they going to trade for Nolan Gorman and Tyler O'Neill? That's what my brain immediately thought. Like, that would make perfect sense. Like, Nolan Gorman, Tyler O'Neill, and a couple prospects for, like, Logan Gilbert. I immediately was like, oh, that would make perfect sense because that would replace the guy in left. That would give them a third baseman. You have Ryan Bliss play second. You got J.P. Crawford at shortstop, Cal Raleigh at catcher, Julio in center. I'm like, all you'd have to really figure out is first base and right field. And I'm like, if you're the Mariners, without adding a ton of salary, that could have been Joey Votto and Adam Duvall. You know what I mean? I thought that they were going to make a trade like that with the Cardinals and then sign a couple, you know, good hitter, team leader type veterans to play first and DH with Ty France and then someone to play right field. And I was like, oh, I'm like, that would make perfect sense to me.
Ty France is a free agent, I think.
No, he's under contract still. He's under ARB. Is he not? They didn't let him walk, did they? He's still in the Mariners. He's still in the Mariners.
Okay.
But I'm like, you're hoping he bounces back or like maybe he just becomes a bench guy. But yeah, like I'd ask you, Peyton. Would that not make sense? If the Mariners lineup, in my head, I'm like, I kind of headcanoned it, but I'm like, you know what? If I'm a Mariners fan and the opening day lineup, you had Cal Raleigh, Joey Votto, Ryan Bliss, Nolan Gorman, J.P. Crawford, Tyler O'Neill, Julio Rodriguez, Adam Duvall. That's a good lineup. That's a very good lineup. Like, you got good defense. You got a great defensive outfield. Yeah, you know, yeah, good defensive shortstop. Cal Raleigh's great. I'm like, it all really added up to me. And then, like you said, DePoto came out and was like, yeah, we're probably less likely to trade away a starter now. And I was like, oh, so the only thing that would make sense after this, you're not going to do? What? So, yeah, I don't know. Are they just going to sign Bellinger and he's going to play right field? Like, because if they sign Bellinger, you know what they still need? A left fielder and a third baseman. Like, they need to trade. They need to trade for someone. And, like, it's the Orioles and the Cardinals are, I think, the only teams that have the, like, young, controllable assets at those positions to, like, for both of them to make that happen.
Now, I'm assuming that you're saying that they should trade a starter for those holes because they have a lot of starting pitching prospects just waiting.
They have Brian Wu, Bryce Miller. People forget Robbie Ray missed the entire year. He is coming back. They have Luis Castillo. They have options at starter. They have options. Like, guys, I'm not going to say expendable because they're good players. But, like, if you look at the Mariners, like, 40-man roster, I'll pull it up right now. There are a lot of guys that I think could make, you know, you got George Kirby. Emerson Hancock will be back and be healthy next year. Like, there are a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys. Like, do you mean to tell me that they could, if that lineup I gave earlier, right? Let's say this was their rotation. Castillo, Ray, Brash, Miller, and Wu.
You're assuming that
Brash. Or excuse me, Kirby. And then Brash is still the closer. My apologies. I meant George Kirby, not Matt Brash. So the rotation could be Castillo, Ray, Kirby, Miller, Wu. With that lineup I gave you. And with that lineup I gave you, the amount of money they've traded away and the amount of money they would spend in free agency would offset. So you'd probably run about the same payroll. I think that's a better lineup. I think it's a better lineup. And the rotation is maybe marginally worse, but, like, at the expense of being much better defensively and having a better lineup.
I'm sorry, I was reading something from Brian. Yeah, I agree. That's a much better line. But you're also just expecting the Mariners organization to do
a big swing. It's a big swing, but I'm asking them to spend the exact same amount of money that they spent last year. That's what I'm asking Seattle to do. And if that is too much, then they're not serious about winning. That's what it is. If you're not serious about it, the Cardinals had their first truly awful season in 30 years. And I got on my soapbox and said, okay, go spend $60 million in pitching then. Like, put up or shut up. What have they done so far? They spent $45 million on pitching. And they're going to sign a reliever as well. They're going to spend probably about $55 million on pitching. Show me, like, I'm not even a Mariners fan, but I'm like, show me you're serious about winning. You need to spend like $150 million minimum to be considered a playoff caliber team. And you probably need to push it to 200 to contend for a World Series, legitimately.
I get it. It just straight up feels like it's not going to happen.
I agree. I think what I laid out to you is a very realistic.
Although I straight up felt like it wasn't going to happen with the team I actually root for a living. And I'm sitting here on Twitter just watching the play-by-play, watching literally John Heyman play-by-play because it's literally the same five tweets every single hour, but play-by-play this entire trade happened.
On the one-yard line, you're saying, Peyton?
Let's relax.
But yeah, like I said, it's like I said, the offseason plan I just laid out to you is like trading Logan Gilbert to the Cardinals for Gorman, O'Neill, and like a couple like of our pitching and you know, a couple more like top 10 prospects. That answers two spots in the lineup. You go out and you sign a Duvall guy to play right field. What's he going to cost? 1 year, $8 million? Like, 1 year, $10 million?
Yeah.
Like, Votto, same thing. Like, that's the reality. You can spend, probably $15 to $20 million, which they've taken away 25 mil and make one trade. And you can answer first base, right field, left field, third base, and not really have a huge drop off in the rotation. That's it. Absolutely. That's what you have to do. And it just, and the thing is, I know this isn't on Jerry because Jerry makes a bajillion trades.
That's fair.
You know, I literally saw a tweet after the Kelnick trade. I want to make sure I get this verbatim. And I'm going to even give the at of the person that said this because it was that funny. And I do not want this passed off as my own joke. At J. Hey Kid said, Jerry DePoto was so excited to make a trade, he forgot to acquire the players. After the Kelnick trade. Like, that's the kind of owner they have in Seattle. Like, if you – DePoto works great for them because it's a ownership group that is a little frugal, is the nice word I love to use, so we don't get in trouble with the algorithm. And, you know, so it has to be done. A trailer – and I'm – yes. Is it ironic that the Cardinals fan gets to sit here and be like, oh, you guess you have to trade us Logan Gilbert? Like, I'm not dumb. Like, I understand that's a big ask. Right? Like, I'm not an idiot, but like at the end of the day, it's like, well, are you going to sign Matt Chapman? No, you're not. Like, you're not at all. You've clearly shown you're not in a position to add even $30 million in payroll. You can add about 20 and that's it. So you'd need to trade for a guy that's pre-arb and another guy that is in arb right now, and then sign some vets and that's it. That's it. And I think if you're Seattle, if you're going to tell fans, and if you, you know, and the contract you gave Julio and the contract you gave Castillo and the contract you gave Ray, you can't trade with Baltimore on this. You can't trade for guys that, you know, are doing a really good job at AAA right now and they're 24. No, you need the guy that's 24 that's played two professional Major League Baseball seasons and has been a plus hitter in both of them. That's the big acquisition you need to get back. Not a guy that hasn't played significant time in Major League Baseball.
I suppose the guy that's talking about, well, actually, no, I know exactly. You've been talking about him all day. What I'm talking about, Nolan Gorman.
Yeah, it's Gorman. You know, it can't be Connor Norby. It can't be, you know, like, it's not that they're bad players, but it's just, you know, the Orioles aren't trading Jackson Holliday. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no, they're not trading Gunner. They're not going to, you know what I mean? There's no guy like that they can, you know, offer. And I think when you look at other teams prepared to do it, no one should trust Tampa ever for anything. Isak Paredes, I want everyone to go on Baseball Savant and look at those blue circles. And I understand it's not the only thing you should look at, but I'm like, the Rays have a Mickey Mouse, very short fence in their left field corner, and they have taught Isak Paredes to just hit an absolute line drive down the line. And that's why he hit 30 homers. If that guy goes to Seattle, he will OPS 680 straight up. He will. I'm being serious. It's the single worst ballpark to hit in for right-handed hitters in all of baseball. There is not one worse for park factor. You cannot acquire a guy who has specialized in taking advantage of his home park. That will never work. That will never, ever work.
I'm trying to think of, I feel like there's got to be another.
There isn't. Like, it's statistics. That's not an opinion by me. That's through scientific research. For right-handed hitters, the worst part to hit in is Safeco. There is not one worse.
Oh, you meant worst part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Mariners. Yeah, Safeco is, or T-Mobile.
Baltimore?
That's for home runs, not for hitting in general. Okay. Think about how big the wall is, all the doubles and stuff.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's the worst. So, just something to chew on at Mariners. Trade me Logan Gilbert. You guys can have Zach Thompson or Steven Matz. He's so good. He's really good. I'll defend Steven Matz at a later time. He just needs to stay healthy. He's not a bad worst starter on your team. Moving on. We need to move on. We spent a lot of time on this. I forgot the Reds signed Nick Martinez and Emilio Pagan. Now.
When?
To quote a New York legend, about a week ago.
God.
Can you guys tell both the people recording this are in their 20s? TikTok audience? Sorry. You guys can Google that one on your own time. Where did his hat go, Peyton? Where did his hat go? Jesus Christ. All right. Anyway, do you want the this is a rare moment in which I'm going to talk about the Reds, and the unbiased baseball observer and the hater in me have the exact same opinion, which is, if I were the Reds and Nick, I would not sign a guy that gives up a lot of fly balls like Nick Martinez does. That's a bad signing.
Unless it's the superstar pitcher, and Nick Martinez, former legend, as evidenced from Lee's TikTok, is not a star pitcher.
Right. And even then, like, Hunter Green has star potential. You go look at his numbers. I mean, this year he had like a 4.8, but he had a 4.4 FIP. And then the year before, he had a 4.4 with like a 4 FIP. Like, he can throw really, he gets a lot of strikeouts, but he gives up fly balls. And because he plays in that stadium, like, if you put Hunter Green in even like Wrigley, I bet you his ERA is a half a run lower. And they even have the basket and stuff.
Not necessarily, because wind also plays a factor.
Yeah, Wrigley might be a bad example. Put him in, I don't know, guaranteed rate. I'll just go, put him on another Midwest team. I'd say put him on the Brewers, but they'd make him like a 1.5 ERA pitcher because it's the Brewers. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't a good faith example, because I'm like, they'd turn that dude into the next DeGrom. Yeah, I don't know. I was actually having this conversation last night with some friends about, like, I don't think the Reds are a good team. They're not good. They're interesting, and they have a good top half of the lineup. But if you go through and you look at their lineup, do we really think TJ Friedl is going to be a 4.5 WAR player again at age 29? I don't think so at all.
Oh, of defense alone, maybe, but no.
He's a 2.5 WAR player because his defense is good, and he will regress to like a 100 WRC plus. That is, you know what I'm saying?
But isn't terrible.
No, that's a decent player, but that's not a 4.5 is an all-star. If you're a 4.5 WAR player for 12 years, you like start to have a Hall of Fame argument. You know what I'm saying? That's a 60 WAR player if you put that up for a dozen years. Math. We'll pretend that was right. Whatever.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Well, now I have to figure it out. Now I have to figure it out. Hold on.
You said 12 times 4.5.
4.5 times 12 is 54. Yeah. It starts to become a conversation if you're at 54 WAR. That's like Chase Utley. Right. There's a conversation. Anyway. Well,
Chase Utley has 60, about 65.
Oh, I thought it was 55. My bad. Anyway, let's talk about this Reds lineup. I look at this Reds lineup, and like I was looking at their Fangraphs, the projected lineup on Roster Resource, and you know they got TJ Friedl leading off. I'm just like, I'm like, there's red flag number one. They have half a good starting pitcher. Like, Hunter Green has shown flashes. He's got big stuff, but it's about staying healthy, staying consistent with velo, and keeping the homers down. And he's young, and there's still time to figure that out. But right now, like, I don't look at him as a true ace yet. Their bullpen, Alexis Diaz was not good in the second half of the season. I mean, is he a good closer? Yes. I don't think he's a top 10 closer in baseball. And the rest of their bullpen's terrible. And I look at their lineup, I think they have 4 or 5 good hitters. I think the bottom half of their lineup is not good. And I think that in order for them to even repeat the win total that they had, they're going to need a massive step forward from probably a couple guys in the rotation. And they're also going to need Ellie De La Cruz to become like a 120 WRC plus bat. And I don't think he's, from a development standpoint, I don't think he's there yet. I think he can be a 110 WRC plus. I think it can be like Bobby Witt was in 2022. Bobby Witt was like a 100 WRC plus. He's hit 25 homers. He stole over 30 bases. He showed some flashes. Like, that's where I think Ellie De La Cruz is going to be at next year.
Really, just about putting the ball in the air for Ellie De La Cruz. If you really think about it, maybe that ends up being really a hitter somewhere down the line. Well, obviously, it'll be really a hitter at some point if he starts putting the ball in the air and actually walking a little bit more. But anyway, that's not the point. Before that, though, yeah, the rotation needs work. The bullpen needs work. I'm not going to go as far as you and say that they're
They're interesting. They're competitive. Good to me. Good to me is like, can they win 88 games? No.
Okay. Yeah. Then that's the case. No.
They're interesting. They're competitive. They're feisty. But also, all these young guys, people like to talk about, this Reds young core, they're all 25, 26. Like, they're not 22. These guys are like in their prime right now. That's a concern.
You would say a prime is 25?
25 through 25, 26, 27, 28 is a dude's prime, in my opinion.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. That's the case. And yeah, they're all in the prime. But yeah, if you're really going to take this seriously, rotation needs work, bullpen needs work. Are the Reds going to do it this year, off season? Probably not.
Like, so. Pagan's a good step for the bullpen, right? But like, I just like Nick Martinez is like the guy that I have the second most amount of confidence in their starting rotation.
Which isn't great.
Ooh. And again, the hater cap is on, but I'll be honest, the unbiased fan cap is also on right now. Straight up. Like, it just, they're interesting. I think they're going to win a similar number of games that they did last year. If you told me at the end of next year that the Reds went 80 and 82, I'd be like, yeah. I also don't want to underestimate the fact that, like, who's the veteran in that locker room? Like, Votto's gone. Like, that's going to have an impact. I really think it's going to. Like, was it TJ Friedl is like the most seasoned dude in that lineup?
Is it not Emilio Pagan? Which isn't great, but is it not Emilio Pagan?
No, well, Pagan's a reliever, is my point. Like, yeah, like he's a reliever. I'm talking in the hitting lineup. You know what I mean? It's a tie game. You know, it's September. They're fighting to stay in the wild card race. You know, those guys haven't been there before. You know what I mean? And I know that that's like not something empirical to talk about.
Wait. Were they not in the wild card race last year?
They were, but they had Joey Votto on the roster. That's what I'm saying. They had a guy to keep them together and keep them in that. And it's like, who's going to step up? I don't know who's going to step up for them. Like, Elly De La Cruz is going to be the face of your franchise. But when he's 5 years younger than everybody else in the lineup and the sixth best hitter in the lineup, kind of hard for him to be the one that, like, does the, like, hey, get your shit together. He can't be that guy yet. He's 20, and it's like, don't you have a 97 WRC plus right now? Like, stop talking to me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's he going to say to Matt McClain when it's like, isn't that crazy how I took your job? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know why this is funny.
It's funny because, like, that's what Matt McClain would have every right to say it. Hey, isn't my OPS 150 points higher than yours? Stop talking. Like, he can just say that to him. Like, oh, hey, come on. You know, we got a rally. We're down a run. And, like, I know. Like, that could just happen. Like, those dudes are, you know, it's a bunch of guys our age. Like, there is no – they need to have that veteran presence. And I don't know where they're going to get it. Unless they sign – I don't know. Who's a guy that is a free agent, like, pitcher right now that doesn't give up a lot of homers? That's like not great. Oh, Jack Flaherty?
Never mind.
I don't even know if that's even the right answer to give. But like, is that a, you know, like, is he ready to be a team leader after he's about to be on his third team in a calendar year? Like, that weighs on guys. Like, there's all these considerations that I just think from a synergy standpoint, they've not thought through.
I have to look this up because I swear they have at least one veteran in the.
There's no one in their starting projected in their starting lineup that's over the age of 28, I'm pretty sure. Or TJ Friedl is about to be 29.
Jesus Christ, people start late.
Ages of their starting lineup: 27, 26, 22, 22, 27, 24, 26, 24, 28.
Who's the other 22?
Elly De La Cruz, 21.9.
No. There's a second 22-year-old.
Yeah, Marte.
Oh, yeah.
And then, dude, you go to their bench. It's Luke Maley is their backup catcher. He's 33. But then the other guys that are projected, Jose Barreiro's 27. Stuart Fairchild is 28. Jake Fraley is 29. Jake Fraley and TJ Friedl are these guys veterans hitters in the clubhouse right now. That shit's not happening. Like, it's not. You can't do that, bro. I'm sorry, you can't.
Well, there's no, he's a free agent now. I take them back.
And then, yeah, look, you go to the rotation. 24, 26, 25. Nick Martinez is 33, and then 26. Like, it's all these dudes that are I don't know. I mean, and maybe the trade deadline will give them somebody, but like TLDR, they shouldn't have gotten rid of Joey Votto. And if this is because Joey Votto's head is too big for him and he thinks he can actually like deserve to get 600 plate appearances next year, then that's on him. Cause like, you're not, he's not getting 600 plate appearances anywhere. They just need to re-sign him. So maybe the Reds are just going to let him wait it out and then they'll sign him, but I don't know, dude.
No, it does sound like it's over.
I don't know.
It feels like it's over for the Reds.
I know. And it's like, whose fault is it? I need to know whose fault it is. Because if it's the Reds, then that's on them being stupid. And if it's on Votto, then it's on him being stupid. Someone is being dumb in that party. And we're probably never going to know who it was.
All right, time for my Twitter check.
Is it at the half yard line?
Oh. Huh?
Half yard line now? Quarter? The 1-inch line? Where are we at with this? I saw medicals like an hour ago. I'm like, who is holding this up?
Michael King. No kidding. Actually, no, probably.
You know what sucks is I traded Michael King in my fantasy dynasty league at the start of the year for like Mark Canna because I was like, I told the guy that I was trading. I was like, I think Michael King's really good. I think he could become the Yankees closer if like Clay Holmes like stumbles or falters. And I was a contending team. And I'm like, I just need a veteran outfielder that'll OPS like 760, which is exactly what Mark Canna did. Like I got exactly what I needed. However, I did not know that Michael King was going to be like, hey, we're going to put you in the rotation. You're going to have like 14 Ks in 5 innings. Like I wouldn't have traded him if I knew he was that good. Like I thought he was just like going to be a potential closer guy. And I'm like, I'm fine trading a guy that like his ceiling is a closer for a veteran outfielder. Did not know that he had that in him. So and I'm a Michael King fan because of it. I love the talent, but
I don't think anyone did.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, obviously the guy that I traded with was like, he's like, yeah, I need closers. He's not pulling the wool over my eyes to be like, yeah, I'm going to get, you know, I'm getting elite K9. I'm sacrificing quality starts to get some elite K9 out of Mark Canna. Anyway.
No, I definitely did. That's exactly why he pulled the trigger. Hey, he knew.
If that clip gets posted, I'll definitely send that to him. The next move we have on this list is my St. Louis Cardinals signing Sonny Gray. Again, if he is the number two on the opening day roster, I'll be a happy clam. If he's the number one, he better be the number two by the trade deadline. That's really all I have to say about that. That's it. There are so many guys right now we could trade for. If we want to go all out and really break the bank, we could trade for Dylan Cease. If we want to pay a little bit or Logan Gilbert. If we want to pay a moderate amount, we could trade for Tyler Glasnow. If we want to trade not that much, we could trade for Shane Bieber. All of these things. And I understand that Sonny Gray was objectively better than Shane Bieber and things like that. But it just Sonny Gray has pitched, I believe, 11 Major League Baseball seasons, and he has made 30-plus starts in 4 of them. That is a concern when the entire point of the offseason is we need guys that can cover innings. Trading for a guy that does not have a clean bill of health on his record concerns me.
Can I ask another question regarding
you
that?
You absolutely can.
When were those 4 seasons? I know at least one of them was.
Was this past season, yes.
Well, yeah, that. And another one was 2015, I would believe.
The seasons in which Sonny Gray has made at least 30 major league starts are 2014, 2015, 2019, and 2023. Is it cheating a little bit because he was fully healthy in 2020? Yes. However, I'm not arguing full season. My argument is, can he throw 180 innings? So that is why I am saying what I'm saying there. 2022, he only threw 120 innings. 2021, only 135 innings. 2018, only threw 130 innings.
By circumstance.
Sure, but regardless.
He was living like Larry in 2018. Don't blame him for that.
Yeah. I was going to say, he was actually good for you guys in 2017. 372. You take that. You didn't give up anybody real. So anyway, the point being is that you need someone else that is capable of eating innings and being that guy. And, you know, like Dylan Cease is the answer for that. Logan Gilbert is the answer for that. I do not care what the price is. I do not care. Paul Goldschmidt is a free agent at the end of the year.
Even that said, Nolan Gorman like 5 times, I think
he's out. He can be gone. I don't dislike the player, but he strikes out over 30% of the time, and he's streaky. And you know what I like better than that? A second baseman that will cost less money when he hits free agency, that plays elite defense and walks an insane amount. I'm, of course, talking about Brendan Donovan. I will trade 15 less home runs for a guy that gets on base 6% more of the time. I'm taking that trade. I'm taking it every single time. Also, this is an excuse to give this fun fact. Brendan Donovan hit 11 home runs last year. 10 of those were either go-ahead or game-tying home runs. That does it. That you can't. Okay. That's not. That's just like a fun. You know, that's a big moment guy. I like that. You know what I'm saying? You like a big moment guy. Next we have the Tigers. Kenta Maeda, 2 for 24. I like this a lot. And if they can sign like Imanaga as well, I think they have. Like this is. I've sipped the Tigers Kool-Aid for like 3 years straight now, but I'm like, this is a team that I think can be like Reds good. That is my assessment of where this team can be at.
I'm assuming you mean Reds good from like last year.
Yeah, like it's 80 wins, 82 wins, is in the playoff hunt, plays competitive baseball in September. Like, that is where I can see this team. If they add the guy like Imanaga especially.
It does feel like there's a lot riding on that. Number one, Riley Green. Is that real? Number two, Torkelson.
I think it's real. It's just he needs to stay healthy.
Number two, Torkelson.
Is that real? Is that real is, I think, a better question with Torque.
Okay, interesting.
Because Riley Green at the end of the day is still like going to like get on base and play plus defense. The question is how good of a hitter can he become? The Torkelson question is he needs to hit at that elite clip to be that viable. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. Is that real question for me is a lot more difficult with Torkelson.
It does feel like whatever. It does feel like that. It does feel like it's riding on a lot. These lights have never turned on off this much in their lives. Anyway.
Because you're so at peace talking baseball like, with me. You know, you're very zen. You're not moving. You're at peace talking baseball with me. So you're
anyway, it does feel like the Tigers just rides on a lot of stuff. No, it can Kenta Maeda be a reliable two. Is that maybe too much for his age and his current skill set?
Maybe, but I think he could be a three.
It also depends on what they do. Do they sign Imanaga? Do they make a bigger splash, maybe? I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there, maybe.
Sources?
It does Peyton, feel like...
Peyton journalism era? Sources? Is that...
No.
No, but seriously, though, if they sign Imanaga and it's Skubal, Imanaga, Maeda, 1, 2, 3...
Oh,
that's a rotation.
That's,
a, That is a good play. That would be their hypothetical playoff rotation. I'm like, that moves me.
When did Mize get surgery?
He should be back like second half. They got Matt Manning. Like they got dudes, man. Like Reese Olsen is a guy their GM really likes. Like they have a lot of guys that are like pretty intriguing. I think their outfield rotation, by the way, of Mark Canha, Parker Meadows, Riley Green, that is a good outfield. And then you rotate in a guy like, oh my gosh, who did they trade for from Philly? Matt Vierling, and then who else? I'm talking about the Tigers like lineup. There's a guy they got. He's pretty much a DH only. But he was mashing. Kerry Carpenter. That's who I was thinking of.
Whatever you just said, I don't know. I don't know what you said, but yeah.
Can you hear me now? Now we're good.
From what I know, Kerry Carpenter is basically a DH.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he'll DH. Yeah. And you got Matt Vierling at third. Baez, if he's that good on defense and is even like has a pulse on offense.
You'll be fine.
Second base, they're probably going to have their top prospect, Colt Keith, and that dude can mash. You got Torkelson, and then their catching tandem wasn't bad either. Like, I don't know. You know, granted, I hear a lot about the Tigers because, you know, you had a good personal friend that roots for the Tigers and gets to talk about it. You know, you get to hear a lot about it, but they got pieces I like.
I just feel like there's still one more move that needs to be made.
Yeah, they're an Imanaga away from being a pretty damn competitive team, as opposed to being like, you know, it's not like,
oh, if they, last 3 years,
yeah, years. It's like, oh, if you sign Ohtani, they're competitive. You know what I'm saying? Like if Ohtani signs with the Reds, I'll call them a good team, but that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I mean. They're a reasonable move away from being like very interesting. They're interesting now. They'll be very interesting. Reasonable move away from going from interesting to very interesting. And I think that's a good spot to be in.
Now if Ohtani signed with the Brewers, would you call them a good team?
No. Dude, they're going to trade Corbin Burns, all right? They're about to start a rebuild. I'm dead serious. They're about to start a rebuild. They are. They're going to pay
Peralta. I know.
They're going to pay Peralta because he's the worst and the cheapest. They're going to trade Corbin Burns. They gave Churio the borderline Ozzy Albies contract. They gave him the poverty, you know, we're going to work you to death in your 20s contract. Ozzy Albies should fire his agent.
Sorry, boss, my call.
No, you're good.
He just said I
could. Oh, gotcha.
Sitting here. Anyway.
But no, seriously, Brewers are about to rebuild. That's a separate talking point, though. But like, they're done, dude. They are done. They made Corbin Burns miss Valentine's Day with his wife to tell him that they were the reason they missed the playoffs in 2022 in his arbitration hearing. Like, if you think that he is staying there, you're out of your mind. He's gone. Devin Williams is going to be on the Phillies in 18 months because
I thought it was the Cardinal. What happened to that?
We'll sign him in free agency. Come home, King. Devin Williams, if you see this, Devin, save me. That meme on Twitter right now where it's like, save me, Devin Williams. Devin Williams, please save me. Save me, Devin Williams. Come home. I love you so much, Devin Williams. I think you're a wonderful person. I think that you are a wonderful baseball player. And I will buy your jersey if you are a Cardinal. I will put that on. I'll put that on camera. You're that good.
But by the way, there is a note on who would be in the trade if the trade happens.
It's Grisham.
It says King, Thorpe, Drew Thorpe, Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, and Kyle Higashioka. If Kyle Higashioka is holding this up, I'm going to fight someone.
Do you think he has a no trade clause? that dreaded Kyle Higashioka no trade clause. Granted, it's to San Diego, but that'd be so good, dude. the myth of consent. I consent. Is there someone you forgot to ask? All right. Next move. Oh, is Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson? One of these guys will have a sub-4 ERA and throw 180 innings for us. The other guy will be replaced at the trade deadline. That is my take. As to who it is, spin the roulette wheel. It doesn't matter. One of them will be good. One of them will be terrible. Neither will get their team option picked up for 2025. Because Tekoya Roby will be ready, or we will sign somebody else, or Graceffo, or, you know, or, et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera. Now, if you want to look on the Fulbright side, the trivia question answer for who is still on the Cardinals from the 2011 team, there's your answer.
We still have somebody.
The entire season.
We still have someone. We have had someone that is a true answer for every single year since the last time the Cardinals won the World Series. And now, technically, with Yadi as a AGM, well, special assistant to the AGM. Let me relax there. Getting ahead of myself. Just kidding. They're going to fire Ali Marmol in 2 years, and then Yadier Molina is going to take his job.
You think it takes 2 years?
Yes. The Cardinals, you know my honest prediction? I'll put it on camera. The St. Louis Cardinals will have a winning record in 2024, make the playoffs, and then lose in the first round. In 2025, they will win the division, win one playoff series, lose in the DS, and they will mutually part ways with Ollie. His contract is up at the end of 2024, by the way. So I think they're going to make the playoffs but lose in the first round, and then they will give him a one-year extension as like a you did what was required of you to keep your job, and then for 2025 – we're going to go like 94-68 and then lose in the DS in like 5, and he'll get fired. And Yadier Molina will take his job. And this is not just me as a fan wanting that to happen. Yadier Molina explicitly, part of the reason that he did not want to be just the bench coach or have that duty, part of it was family stuff. But the other part of it was, he's like, I want to be a manager. Like, that is my end goal. That's my next phase of my career. I want to prep to be a manager. So I think he's going to hang around the Cardinals for a few years. And then when they have the opportunity to fire him, Molina will say, I will take that job. Yes.
I would believe, but I don't think you can call it firing. It's Wheelhead's contract expired.
That's what I'm saying. That's yes. Really it'll be a mutual parting of ways. Because his contract is up at the end of this year. He will do just enough to keep it. They'll extend him for 1 year. He'll get a one-year extension. And then, no deep playoff run again. Sorry.
Now, do you think he'll do enough to be able to get another job elsewhere?
Yes, because in 2 years, his managerial resume will be 4 seasons as a manager with 3 playoff trips. Someone is hiring that guy. Like the Giants are going to hire him.
But if we're talking about a manager being a clubhouse guy, we also have what happened at the beginning of this year. So
that's
maybe
fair.
We'll look at that as well.
That is fair. Although I have a hard time buying Yadier Molina. Well, I don't think he's a rule by fear kind of guy, but I have a hard time imagining Yadier's a big, like, yuck it up with like a 20-year-old kind of dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Yadier Molina as a manager, he would vibe very well with like Kyle Gibson and like Lance Lynn and like Goldschmidt.
I don't think they really care with future Hall of Famer, lifelong Cardinal.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're not going to get, yeah, he'll have that like built-in respect factor that I think would prevent him from having to like actually do the legwork. That was my point about Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. I think one of them will be successful. I don't really care who it is. I want one of them. And I think the other one will be either, you know, Phantom IL'd at the deadline or, you know, it'll be something like that.
I'm just going to tell you right now, it's most likely to be Kyle Gibson.
You think, to be successful?
No.
Oh, you think Lance Lynn's going to be the huge bounce back guy?
Yeah.
I have a much easier time buying Kyle Gibson just has another 4.1 ERA season.
That is fair.
You know what I mean? Like, the Lance Lynn thing is definitely a bigger gamble. The fact they got the same contract is honestly a little surprising to me. We also have the Braves getting Ronaldo Lopez 3 for 30, and they're going to stretch him to be a starter.
I'm going to be totally honest. At this point, after whoever's after Ronaldo Lopez, we don't have to go deep.
I think it's just Aaron Nola, and that's it.
Why is Aaron Nola the last one?
He was the first, like, offseason. Or, okay, yeah.
Oh, it's an order this, of when they
signed. Yeah, we've been going reverse order. The only other things we could possibly talk about after Ronaldo Lopez is Aaron Nola, the Aaron Bummer trade, and then Mark Canha to the Tigers, and that's it.
I don't think I'm talking about Aaron Bummer. Mark Canha.
We talked about the Tigers already, though, so I think if we just do Ronaldo Lopez, we could just be done. Because I know it's probably about to start getting dark for you. You want to get out of here after this?
Unless you want to do trivia, yeah.
Yeah, no, we can do trivia. We can do trivia like sometime soon. We'll just do, yeah. Anyway, all right. The last thing that we'll touch on, Ronaldo Lopez, 3 for 30 to Atlanta with plans that they want him to prepare to be a starter. I don't know. This is the Braves, right? The Braves have sort of entered the same realm of Tampa and LA now. Dodgers, obviously. Angels playing Anaheim. Where whenever they make a sort of move, I'm like, this will probably work out for them. This is probably smart. I think there are things to like with Ronaldo Lopez, especially, honestly, more as a bullpen guy. But if I kind of like the idea of, like, we are going to have you train in the offseason in case we need you to be a starter, I'm willing to bet that what ends up happening is he's going to be given the opportunity to earn a rotation spot. He'll fight for one in spring training. He'll be bulked up. Then they'll stick him in the pen. I think he's kind of the insurance option of, ooh, we had a guy, he got hit with a comebacker and he broke his thumb in his pitching hand. He's going to be out for a couple months. We need someone to make 8 starts for us and not be horrific. That's what I think Ronaldo Lopez, their insurance policy for that, with the primary plan being a bullpen piece.
Whatever you just said just was cutting in and out, but
No, I'm listening to you. You're good. You haven't frozen the whole time.
Okay, so I'm guessing yours is just going to be perfectly fine on the other end. But
yeah, let's hope so.
Can you just like summarize what you said?
I said I think that they're telling him to prepare to be a starter in the offseason to give him the honest chance to compete for a rotation spot. But I think that the ultimate plan for him is they want him to be a bullpen piece that if, you know, Charlie Morton got hit by a comebacker and he needs to miss a month. We need a guy to make 5 starts that won't be terrible without like burning a guy from AAA. Ronaldo Lopez can step into that because he will have spent the offseason bulking up and getting prepared for that.
So essentially he's the guy that's going to be stretching to be like,
I think so. I think that's what they want him to do. Cause it's 3 for 30
to do the Michael King essentially.
Yes, I think so. That's my opinion.
Yeah. It would be foolish for them to just throw him into the rotation. Considering his past success in the rotation, or lack of success, I should say, and the fact that he's turning to a really good bullpen arm, I'd rather just see him in the bullpen for the Atlanta Braves. But work him in as a starter, that's probably your best option at this point, unless you sign another guy that you can trust to your starter or another starter. But for now, just keep him in the bullpen, but have him ready just in case. Yeah,
I mean, and it seems like that to me seems to be an emerging sort of role for guys. There seems to be a market for the SP 5.5 in a rotation seems to be like an emerging role in Major League Baseball of a guy that makes objectively close to like closer money or very low end starter money. And his job is like, you might be our setup man by September. You might be the number 4 guy in the rotation. It all depends on how our season goes and how lucky we are with health. So, I mean, I'm glad to see that there's a market for that and guys are getting paid to do that. Cause you know, at the end of the day, more roles that require major league player autonomy and, you know, more guys getting paid, I'm pro. So That's where I kind of sit with that.
All right. So really quickly before we get off this, now I think about it, let's just play rapid fire. Where are the rest of these free agents? And when I say rapid fire, I mean we're not going to go too deep into this. So I have nothing on this paper. I'm just looking at a piece of paper to get the effect that I'm looking at.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Anyway, easiest one, Otani.
Angels. Or Blue Jays. I don't think he's going to the Dodgers.
I'm going to go deep in the back here and say Cubs.
End this call. He's not signing with the Cubs. I'm serious. He's not signing with the Cubs. The Cubs are signing Jung Ho Lee and Rhys Hoskins, and they're not signing Otani.
Which wouldn't be a bad offseason, but
no, it wouldn't be.
I'm just going on these. Speaking of which, I guess Jung Ho Lee,
Cubs,
Padres.
Ooh, okay.
I'll go with Padres. Just
I could see Mariners one, as well.
That too. It just feels like connection. Were they teammates? Connection with Kim, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a little bit. I'll say Padres. I'll say Padres. I'm going entirely out of order. Matt Chapman.
This is hard. Cubs.
Feels like Cubs too.
Yeah.
From the moment it was mentioned on that recording session, it felt like Cubs.
I'll put it this way. The rumor is that if the Cubs don't get Otani, they want to sign three star bats. And if anyone has listened to me all offseason long before that report even came out, I have said the Cubs are going to sign Rhys Hoskins, Jung Ho Lee, and Matt Chapman. That's three star bats. So, you know, don't question my ball knowledge. When they sign those three dudes, which are all good signings, they'll probably overpay for Chapman a little bit, but like the left side of that defense, whoo, that's a good defensive lineup you're putting out with that. But that's who I think that the Cubs are signing.
Now that I have a list of free agents up like a professional.
You can go Rhys Hoskins next because I Cubs. I mean, that's kind of already going to happen, but.
Sure, Rhys Hoskins.
I think Cubs as well. That's the three guys the Cubs sign.
I will agree and say Cubs as well. Unless they have first baseman DH type that I don't know about, which they don't since you
said. Unless they want to give Matt Mervis another significant look, which I don't think is happening. He's not good.
Okay. Bellinger. Cody Bellinger.
Yankees.
So you think they're going to, assuming this trade gets done.
Yes. Soto Bellinger Judge opening day.
Wow. Okay. I would have said Bellinger if this was last week, but since everything seems to be trending that they are looking away from spending $200 million on Bellinger, I will say, because who is going to be a team that's crazy enough to sign up for that much money?
That's exactly who's got the pockets deep enough.
I'm gonna go. No, not. Let's just go extremely bold. Say that after what has been a really interesting offseason so far, let's just say Mariners.
Oh, you know who else I could see? I'll throw a dark horse out there. Houston Astros. I could see the Astros doing it.
I can see it.
Chaz Bellinger Tucker. You DH Yordan?
Yeah, sure. Blake Snell.
Man, this is tough. This one is tough. I like forgot he existed, man. Like he's hard. He's a hard guy to like pin down to sign somewhere. Is he the guy that the Mariners get and then they trade a pitcher? Is he their big, you know? But I don't, no, not the Mariners. Blake Snell, I'll go. Who's got the money? Who's got the money? You know what? You know what? Let's give Baltimore some credit. I'll say he's on the Orioles.
That's who I was going to say too, the Orioles.
That'd be big. I think that actually may make a lot of sense.
It's the one that feels the most sense out of everyone on the – well.
Like, it's – or the other thing really is it's like – yeah, it's like Yankees or Red Sox or – you know, I don't want to just name big market teams because I think they're – you know, like, yeah, I don't want to just name, like, who has money to spend. I think he's going to the Dodgers.
Well, I really want to remember the Red Sox Blake Snell edit that was being sent every single day in chat. Jordan Montgomery.
Rangers. As much as it breaks my heart, the Texas Rangers. Wasted that fleece of a trade that we fleeced you for. Ugh! Makes me sick that we wasted that.
I will also say Rangers.
Yeah.
This next player is apparently narrowing his options down to two teams, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Tigers.
Essentially, we're just taking a stab at which of these two teams is he going to sign with.
I think it's Tigers or Red Sox, right, for him? Or Orioles. I could see Orioles. The Orioles could get E-Rod.
I didn't see any specific teams. I would say that he signs with the Tigers.
Yeah. Hey, Skuball, Rodriguez, Maeda, top three. Let's get real crazy with it. They sign Imanaga as well, and then they can trade like Matt Manning and stuff. Ooh, come on, fire me up. That would be a heck of a rotation, dude. Just a bunch of like.
Love seeing this, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Tigers fans just going like curling their toes at the thought of like a bunch of 3.5, you know, 6 innings, 6 strikeout dudes.
Lucas Giolito.
I said Orioles earlier and like Orioles, right?
You can say Orioles.
If the Orioles do not go after a big name at all, I think, or no, you know what? Pirates. I'll say Pirates for Lucas Giolito.
That's interesting. Because you're assuming the Pirates are a team that's gonna like look to take the next step.
They have lost 4 pitchers to Tommy John that were supposed to be in their rotation for 2024. They've already traded for Marco Gonzalez. And they feel like the prime team to go get a Giolito type on a prove it deal. Cause if, you know, JT Brubaker is not better, but like he's cheaper. So if Giolito sucks for a year, oh well. If he's good, you can move him at the deadline. Or if he wants to stay and they're playing winning baseball, you can extend him for hopefully a little bit of a discount.
I will say that he will be a Brave. And hear me out for one quick second.
Ooh, I'll hear you on that.
You know who recently signed with the Atlanta Braves?
Charlie Morton?
No. Ronaldo
Lopez. Oh, you mean really recent? Lopez. Okay. Got you.
Ronaldo Nunez is a whole different person. Ronaldo Lopez. So, you know what Lopez's career trajectory has been?
You're playing bromance with me. I thought I was taking it fully seriously, being like, oh, that could be a very Braves kind of move. Yeah, I could see that. You mother. All right, fine. Sure. Yeah, sure. All right. Meme. Yeah, sure.
People will talk about the last season, what happened. But you don't realize that they were also in the same trade for Adam Eaton.
Yeah. They've been together the whole – yeah.
So
– I don't hate that. Who else you got? What other names you got for me?
It also does feel like a guy that they'll sign. A guy that hasn't been talked about a lot, Jaime Candelario.
He should sign with the Mariners, but, you know.
The Mariners? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they've got – they're – team that is playing winning baseball, or at least they have been in the past, and I would like to think they're still committed to doing it, and they have a hole at third base right now. And he's cheaper than Matt Chapman.
That's entirely fair. You know what? Let me just throw it out there. Yankees. He'll be a Yankee.
All right. And okay. I don't hate that.
And the only reason I say that is because Brian Cashman came out today and said that DJ LeMay was the third baseman, but this is also the same person that said that Bubba Crosby was going to be the starting center fielder back in 2005. That's how long he's been in this position. Jesus Christ. Anyway, two more names. We talked about Soto, so I'm not going to mention him. Marcus Stroman.
Ooh. Giants.
That's very interesting. He will be a New York. No, kidding.
I will bet a lot of money that he is not signing for either New York team.
But I was about to say the Mets. Not even thinking about the Yankees.
Yeah.
Let's see. He will sign with. Does he resign with the? Let's just say he resigns with the.
I don't know, man. I mean, because they could have just picked up, like, the option and stuff was for like a pretty decent amount of money too.
Wasn't it his option?
That's what I'm saying. He turned down 21 mil next year to play for them. And I'm like, I mean, maybe you know what it is. I bet you he just wants like a 3-year, like 45 mil deal. Like, he'll take less money for more like job security.
Actually, no, I take that back. They were interested in the deadline. It just feels like a good fit, the Arizona Diamondbacks. If not the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I have a different answer.
The Arizona Diamondbacks than the Toronto Blue Jays.
I have a different answer. Nah, Blue Jays, I don't think are moving anybody. Their rotation's pretty set, no? Gausman, Berríos, Kikuchi, Ryu, like, they got, I don't want to move on from Manoah already. I mean, he was bad, but, like, he has no value. There's no reason to trade him.
Whatever you just said, it broke up really badly.
Oh, don't the Blue Jays have their rotation kind of figured out, or am I tweaking?
It feels like he would be the one that wants to return to Toronto.
That is fair. Kevin Gausman, Jose Berríos, Chris Bassett, Yusei Kikuchi, Alek Manoah is their current rotation.
What happened to Ryu?
Is Ryu free agent, probably?
Let's check right now.
Yeah, probably got his option declined. Yeah, but anyway, point being
it also does feel like they're moving on from Alek Manoah.
They could. I have a different answer for the D-backs. I'm just curious who the next guy. You said there's a couple more names. Who else? Who's the other guy?
The last guy I was going to mention was Yamamoto, but if there's another guy that you think.
There's a couple more starting pitchers I want to do predictions for other than Yamamoto. Yamamoto.
Is it someone named Michael Wacha?
No. We can add him to the list too. I had Michael Wacha, Jack Flaherty, and Frankie Montas as well.
Which one did you think was going to go to the D-backs?
I think Montas was going to go to the D-backs.
Okay, that's interesting.
Where do you think Montas would go?
O's have been interested. Mm-hmm. Yankees are very interested. It does feel like the Orioles. No, the Orioles won't get it. It depends on if the Yankees say, here's $10 million to prove it to us, or if they say no, and the Orioles sign for $8 million. So one of those two teams.
I think, okay, Jack Flaherty.
Jack Flaherty. I have no idea. I'm gonna
Chicago White Sox.
I have no idea.
Chicago White Sox is my prediction.
Are we good now?
You froze. You're still frozen. I can hear you. There you go. Now you're back. Did you hear me say Jack Flaherty to the White Sox? That's my prediction.
I heard Jack to the. That's all I heard.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty to the White Sox. is my prediction.
Oh.
On like a 1 year prove it deal, playing a big market. Hopefully.
Okay. I'll just, yeah.
Yamamoto. Giants, I think. I think the Giants. I don't think he will sign for the Mets.
I think there's a very decent chance he will sign with the Mets.
I think so too, but it just like the Giants.
Let me clarify. I think there's a very good chance he will be a New York something.
A New York Red Bull. He's taking his talents to the beautiful game.
New York City Football Club.
He's playing for the Knicks. I want to hear Stephen A. rant about Yamamoto twice a week on his show, not First Take. Listen, I so badly want Yamamoto on the Cardinals, like so badly. I don't know. There's been instances before in which the Cardinals front office has been very coy about acquiring a big player, and you shouldn't linger on that. But it just, the Cardinals have done a lot of work specifically with the team he was posted from. They have a really good working relationship with the team he was signed for. And it's like the, you know, there's the groundwork of, he said he wants to play with Japanese players and like feel like that sense of like comfort. And it's like, well, a guy that you're really close personal friends with is a very prominent player on our team. And not even just that, you guys are family friends, like, and it the fit is right. What he wants is right. The real question is just like, I've always pushed back. This is my only soapbox. So we'll do a quick hitter. The only thing I'll ever talk about is we live in an age in which I think playing in an air quote big market isn't really real anymore. Like, yes, there's like television audiences and things like that, but the internet exists. We live in an instantaneous world. You and I are having this conversation right now, and we live thousands of miles away. So, you know, when I hear that, oh, he'd prefer to play for a big market, I'm like, does he really care that much about it? If he just wants to live in LA or he wants to live in New York City, there's nothing I can do. But like, is it he wants to live in a big market or does he want to live in a city like that? I don't think he cares about the economics of it. It's just, does he care where he lives or does he care about the team he plays for? Or is it what balance of it is both? And I think the more that it balances of who I'm playing with and the uniform I'm putting on, that does help the Cardinals. Odds we sign him, my confidence level, 15%. So not high. But I would say high, you know, it's not zero.
Would it shock me? No. Honestly,
it would not shock me. If it, okay, here's the thing. I will dance like prison reform has been achieved. Like I will dance as though I've had, I will dance as though I've had, it's the lights cutting off after I said that is so funny. Like they're like, shut him off. Shut him down. I will dance like a woman has said yes to marrying me. I will dance like my first child is being born. That's how happy I will be. So that's all I'll say on that.
So that one shocked me, but when you hear that, it's essentially pushing $300 million bidding. When you hear that, that makes you believe Dodgers. It makes you believe Mets. It makes you believe, well, the team before.
Giants.
Makes you believe Giants, who have been looking for a star since last year.
Since Arson Judge, I believe, is the gentleman's name.
Your anniversary, by the way. And based on the way that they've been talking about him, it makes you think Yankees. It makes you think those four teams when you hear $300 million.
Yeah, I just, when I look at, when we talk about payroll, right? The card, you know, Mozeliak says by the trade deadline in 2024, by opening day, we expect to have a payroll similar to to what we were projecting to have at the trade deadline had they been winning. And when you factor all that stuff in what he was talking about, he's talking about that magic number is 200 mil. And when I look at the Cardinals payroll right now on SpotRec, I see 157 mil. I see $43 million before we hit that magic
number. It does also make me think the Cubs, by the way.
Yeah, we don't need to even entertain that thought, though. We don't need to entertain that idea. That's a sick, disgusting thing to wish on anyone, and we don't need to think that way. Point being, yeah, the Cubs are in a similar payroll spot, but that's before they sign Reese Hoskins, Jung Ho Lee, and Matt Chapman. So they'll be at about 200 mil before they would have to sign Yamamoto. For reference, the Cardinals are in a position at 157 mil. We can pay him $30 million a year for 10 years, and our payroll going into the year would be seventh in baseball. Excuse me, sorry. The Cubs are at 172 right now. If they sign Yamamoto, they can't sign anybody else without risking like luxury tax conversation. I mean, like they can do it, but I don't think they will. Point being, Cardinals at 157. I'm like, you can add 30 mil onto that.
And again, wouldn't shock me.
Wouldn't shock me either.
It does just feel like big market is.
Right. And that's the conversation. And I'm like, brother, just, you know, hang out. You guys can do like an odd couple situation with Lars. You guys can live together in a little loft in downtown St. Louis. You guys can invite me to hang out. These are all very realistic things that will happen, by the way. The guy with the $300 million contract is for sure having a roommate and for sure inviting me to hang out, despite the fact that I don't – correct me if I'm wrong. I do not speak fluent Japanese. Yeah, that's correct. I do not. Whatever. I think he's going to the Giants, though. Like, it just – it's a great park to pitch in, and they want stars. Yamamoto Giants is my honest prediction. It's a nice park to pitch in. It's a big market, and he's the star there. He's not competing. Like, if they were named the San Francisco Warriors, he'd have to, like, compete with Steph, but he doesn't, so. They don't, though. Like, people, like, forget that they also play in San Francisco.
Yeah, it just. It just feels like he'll be in New York.
That's fair. We all have wishful thinking right now. Well, you don't want him on the Mets. No one wants him on the Mets. Do you know how awful it'd be to watch
him? I care about that rivalry much less than you might think.
No, I'm saying like, I'm saying as a baseball fan, watching him just
and when I say not care, I mean like I don't really have vitriol towards him. So
no, Peyton, I'm saying as a baseball fan. If they piss away Yamamoto Senga as a 1-2 punch on a 78-win roster and Lindor, I'll be furious. I'll be pissed. Like, you are just pissing away, guys. I love watching play baseball. Lindor did not make the All-Star team this year. That dude went 30-30 with elite defense. But because the Mets are so incompetent, they're such incompetent shitheads. Oh, don't get me started.
This is the most passionate I've ever heard you for anything that's not Cardinals related.
The Mets infuriate because all they do is they get gifted from Christ like this big market. So they get to be in on every free agent for no reason. They're a loser franchise that's accomplished nothing, but they get to sign all these big money free agents. And then what happens? Either they're dog shit individually on their team or they're bad as a team. Like, they're ass. They are a bad organization. It's poorly run. They can't scout. Like, it's awful. It's awful to watch. It's like watching a 12-year-old play MLB The Show with forced trades turned on. That is what watching the Mets feels like. Like, how do they just keep getting guys? And then yet they still blow every year. Every year.
Well, they were dealing with the Wilpons for years, so it's baby steps. Baby steps, Carson.
But yeah.
Can you outro this for us?
Yes. If you guys have enjoyed listening to Peyton and I yammer on, I need you guys to do a couple things for me. First, tell him how handsome he looks. You know, normally we say that at the beginning, but we say that at the end as well. And secondly, feel free to follow us. You can follow us here Where is here? We might be, you might be watching this on Instagram. You might be watching this on TikTok. You might be watching this on Twitter. It doesn't matter what platform it is.
You might be watching on Dailymotion.
You might be watching this on LinkedIn for all I care. In that case, I'm looking for work. You know, whatever platform you're watching it on, give us a follow. You can follow us. Like I said, go to our website, read all of our articles, go to buy all of our merch. You can follow myself. You can follow Peyton. Follow us on, like I said, Facebook, Instagram. We don't have Facebook. Delete that. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn. Go to our website. All the links will be somewhere in our bio.
We also definitely do have a Facebook, by the way.
We do.
Matter of fact, what am I doing? Hold on a minute. You can keep talking.
But yeah, feel free to follow us on whatever platforms suit your fancy. We'd love it if it was all of them, but if it's just your one favorite, that works just as fine for me. So thank you guys very, very much. It's gotten significantly darker in here. Yeah, thank you.